The following message was delivered at Westminster Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Bartlesville, Oklahoma on April 30, 2023. The speaker is Mr. Terry Miller. The message is based upon 1 Peter 3:13-18. And it is titled, Sanctify the Lord God in Your Hearts.
First Peter 3:13-18. This is also the text for our message this morning. Reading from the New King James Version. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive by the Spirit. This ends the reading of God's Word. Please be seated. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we pray that you might bless your Word this day. As we sang in Psalm 40, Christ is proclaiming your Word to the nations this day. This day in which we come and you renew your covenant blessings with us. So, Father, be with the one who brings your word. We pray that he might speak in truth, that he might speak in grace, and that you might be honored and glorified by all that he says. Bless the hearers as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text this morning, as I just read, is from 1 Peter 3:13-18. And the title of the sermon is, Sanctify the Lord God in Your Hearts. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. The Christian is called to do many hard things in this life. Would you agree with that? The Christian doesn't go with the flow. The Christian is always swimming upstream against the current of this world. He is called by God to turn from evil and do good. We just read that in the text, and we read that in our scripture of the month. Like the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5-7, Peter here exhorts us not to return evil for evil. He exhorts us not to return reviling with reviling. That is our covenant responsibility, for we are to be holy even as our Lord God is holy. We are to pursue peace and pursue it without considering the consequences, for this is the bare command of God in his word. Our obedience, of course, is required. Jesus declared that if evil men hated him, they would also hate us, his disciples, for we are not above our master, are we? He said this in his gospels. And you are his disciples if you love Christ and you trust in him and follow him and embrace him. We are called to fill up the sufferings of Christ as his disciples. We mentioned that a bit last week. We will be persecuted. We will be persecuted if we are faithful to our Lord. We bear our cross just as Jesus bore his cross. We walk in his steps, not to the same degree that he bore cross, and we don't do it vicariously for others, but we do suffer persecution in following after him. And of course, Christ bears the brunt of that burden for us. We'll look today at the text from 1 Peter and see that Peter exhorts us to do good in his church, to do good and not to do evil. Zion was the old covenant church and is the seed of the Church of Jesus Christ, the Gentiles, which we are grafted into that olive tree, as we read in Romans 11. We also continue in that church. Here Peter is preaching to Jews, Christian Jews, Jews who have turned to Christ, and they are being persecuted. That's the purpose of this message. Earlier in 2 Peter, Paul spoke to the Christians, these Jewish Christians, and said, you must submit. You must submit to the government. You must submit to your master if you're a slave or a worker. If husbands must love their wives and deal with them in an understanding way, wives must submit to their husbands, and children must submit to their parents. He dealt with that in chapter 2, and here he is saying, you must submit to me. God is saying, you must submit to me in this way as my disciple, to do good and not return evil with evil. Peter knew his hearers were facing persecution and that they would continue to face persecution, and so will we in this godless and sinful world. Following Christ always brings persecution. The degree that you are persecuted may be an indicator about how faithful you are to Christ. Are you being persecuted for Christ? If not, you might consider, how faithful am I to take a stand for Christ and his word? Peter is exhorting hearers to do right, for that is good in the sight of God, and to forget the consequences. Peter speaking to his hearers that this is their duty, and today you are those hearers who are hearing these words from Peter. We'll look at this text in three heads today. We'll look at this in three heads. First, have no fear of those who persecute you for doing good. Have no fear of those who persecute you for doing good. And secondly, you will be blessed in your persecution from others. You'll be blessed. And again, this section will deal parallel with the Sermon on the Mount, the things that Jesus taught. Of course, God's word is congruous. And thirdly, you are to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. You are to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and we will look at what that entails. Firstly, have no fear of those who persecute you for doing good. Verse 13 of 1 Peter 3 says, who is there to harm you if you become followers of what is good? Who is there in this world to harm you if you are followers in doing good? Peter says, do good no matter what happens. No matter what the persecution is, obey me and do good. Do not revile. Do not return evil. Psalm 34 also says the same thing to us. Psalm 34:12. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Believer in Jesus Christ, this is our duty. God speaks to us. This is our duty. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceit, and depart from evil and do good. This is what Peter has for us to say. Peter says we should not be troubled by evildoers, and we should not fear them. Matthew states this also when Jesus sent out the disciples to preach the gospel. Matthew 10, he said, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And in verse 28, do not be afraid of them that kill the body. Do not be afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Here Jesus sets the perspective for us. Yes, man can kill our body. Many people have been martyred for their faith in the past for following after Christ. But man cannot touch our soul. Man cannot touch our eternal state. After the crucifixion, Peter feared those who sought to take his life for following Christ. I think it would be interesting in heaven to talk to Peter about his whole life. What an amazing turnaround. He feared his life. And now he's saying, don't do this. Don't do what I did. I denied the Lord 3 times openly. The crowing of the cock reminded him of Jesus' words that he would do this. And oh, what a change God made in Peter's life over time, didn't he? To the man that he was when he wrote this, he had no fear of man. He had absolutely no fear of man. Tradition tells us that he was hung upside down when he was crucified because he did not want to be, he was not worthy to be hanged in the same way that his Lord was hanged. At this time, Peter feared man and not God. That's an absolute dichotomy. If you fear man, you will not fear God. If you fear God, you will not fear man. Those two things are diametrically opposed. We must learn immediately in our Christian walk that we should forsake all manner of man-pleasing. Man-pleasing. What is man-pleasing? What is catering to man? Don't we like to be liked by other people? Don't we like to have their strokings in the things that we do? Don't we have peer pressure to go along with the crowd? That's man-pleasing. It's not taking a stand for God. It's not fearing God. It is a pleasing of man. So we must learn immediately in our walking with Christ that this is idolatry. Man-pleasing is sheer idolatry, and it's sheer unbelief. When we try to please men, we make men our God, and we knock God off the throne. We are to please God alone and worship Him alone. When we fear God, we will not have thoughts about the thoughts of men toward us. What does it matter what man thinks of us? What does it matter that we take a stand for Christ? What does it matter what men think that we believe? We are not serving men, we're serving God, and we will be accountable to God. So man's thoughts toward us are irrelevant. They should be irrelevant. Jesus states the worst thing that can happen in Matthew 10 is they can kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul. Who is there to harm you if you become followers of what is good? And we have God's promise that His eyes are always upon us. In verse 11 of 1 Peter 3, Peter writes, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous." God's eyes are constantly upon us, and He is constantly with us, and His ears are open to their prayers. We have an outlet of prayer to God when we are persecuted by others, and we should use that outlet. Because God is mighty to fight the battle for us. We can't fight it by ourselves. In 1 Peter 4, the next chapter of 1 Peter, Peter writes, he continues on in this theme, "If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you." Blessed are you. Again, does that ring a bell? Of course, the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for they shall inherit the earth." Inherit the kingdom of God, rather. "Blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." On their part, that is the unbeliever, God is blasphemed, but on your part He is glorified. Do you realize that you are glorifying God when you receive persecution from unbelievers? They are blaspheming God, but Peter says you're bringing glory to God as you are being persecuted. "By all means, let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, evildoer. That's upon you. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner." Believer, when you go through persecution, God is glorified. God is glorified. Remember that. Remember that. Peter continues, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with this first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" Paul joins in on this theme. "What shall we say to these things?" he says in Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? Is anyone greater than God? Do you know anyone greater than God? With more power than God? Paul says, if God has delivered Christ up for us all, how shall he not with Christ give us freely all things? Paul is arguing from the lesser to the greater here. From the greater to the lesser here. If he has given us his Son to merit eternal life for us to forgive our sins, will he not give us the lesser things than that, i.e. the strength to endure persecution and the words to say, it is God who is justified. It is God who justifies, so who condemns? God is the judge and jury. It's all in God's hands. Who can condemn? But we go on to verse 14b. Peter says, do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. Why should we be troubled by them? Wonderful thing of God's word is his Psalms. This is Christ's songbook for us. The Puritans said that the Psalms were a spiritual medicine chest, a spiritual medicine cabinet for believers. Every occurrence in life, every situation in life that we encounter is encountered by the psalmist. And we can go to the Psalms in any situation of our life and read how the psalmist dealt with these things. Psalm 37 is an excellent psalm to pray over. We should pray over Scripture. We should pray over Scripture when we are persecuted, and especially pray over the Psalms. God has given us wonderful prayer. There are four prayers of Paul's in the epistles that he prays for the church. But here Psalm 37 is a wonderful, wonderful psalm when you are dealing with persecution. For he goes back and forth and says, this is the end of the unbeliever, the ungodly, and this is the end of the believer. And, of course, as you read that, you see what the unbeliever's end is, much like Psalm 73. Then I walked into the sanctuary of the Lord, and I first perceived the end of the unbeliever. Then I came to my senses. This helps us to have a right perspective. I'll read first part of it. I won't read the whole psalm. It's very long. But if you read this psalm, five times God says the godly will inherit the earth. Five times God says that the godly will inherit the earth. Do not fret because of evildoers. What does that say? Don't worry. Everything's in God's hands. Don't fret. Nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Does that sound familiar? And same thing Peter is saying, and perhaps he did borrow from this psalm in what he was writing, as well as Jesus' words on the Sermon on the Mount. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him also. Trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as noonday. Don't fret, he says again, because of him who prospers, because the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. Here the psalm, in the Psalm 37, God tells us to cease from anger, cease from worry, commit yourself to the Lord. Because he says in the next verse, those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And eventually that is the new heavens and the new earth. It's God in this psalm is saying, put your perspective in the world that is to come. This world is passing by. It's a fleeting moment. We'll look behind us and see our persecutors are like a blip on the radar. They will soon vanish away like the grass, as the psalmist says. So I would encourage you, when you are being persecuted for Jesus' sake, that you pray me through Psalm 37. Again, at verse 24, depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore, for the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. Sometimes we think that he does forsake us, don't we? O Lord, where are you? The psalmist says, why are you so far from my groaning? Where are you? God is with us all the time. It's just that we aren't looking for him, and we aren't realizing that he is with us. We aren't realizing that his spirit dwells in us to give us strength and encouragement. We must observe those things, and God's word reminds us, and again, the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. Well, our second point, you will be blessed in your persecution from others. You will be blessed in your persecution. Not only does persecution glorify God, but you will be blessed. And of course, as I said, this parallels the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. Don't think that God is ignoring you when you are suffering and praying for help. He is abiding with you and he is blessing you. He's not brought this persecution upon you for nothing. As I said last week, God does not waste his providence. He is working to sanctify you, to sanctify you. He's building patience in you. He's telling us, you were once like that too. You were once like that person who's persecuting you. And yet God changed you. God worked in your heart, and he is sanctifying you. So you're blessed with spiritual growth. You're blessed with an increase of piety. You are blessed with an increase of graciousness toward unbelievers. Fear God and be blessed by God. Again, on the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are they that have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall reproach you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, Paul says, to rejoice in your persecution. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Is it difficult to do when you're being persecuted? How many people say that that's difficult to do when someone's persecuting? It is very difficult, isn't it? Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. Jesus says here, the prophets all suffered. They spoke for God. They spoke for Christ, and yet they were persecuted. And Peter says in this verse, going back to the previous verse, our reward is not in this life. Our reward is in heaven. A reward is in heaven. Yes, we are rewarded in this life by being blessed. Yes, we are rewarded in this life for being sanctified. But our great reward is actually in heaven. Our persecution is a blessing to us, and it is a shame to our enemies. When we bless Christ, we pour heaps of coals upon their head. As Peter says, and it is a shame to the unbeliever. Peter declares that we should keep a good conscience when we are reviled for Christ's sake. We are not to revile in return. We are to bless those who persecute us. We must have our conscience trained by Scripture and know Scripture, so that we can give Scripture to our persecutors. The third point that we will make in this is to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. What is the antidote to being persecuted? Peter here says it is to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. He writes, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. What does this mean? Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Well, believe it or not, in chapters 2 and 3 of 1 Peter, Peter is quoting from Isaiah 8. In chapter 2, he quotes from Isaiah 8 that Christ is a stone of stumbling to the unbeliever. And in chapter 3, which we are looking at, he quotes from this regarding how we should respond to unbelievers. I'll read Isaiah 8:11-18. Do not say a conspiracy concerning all of this people, that is unbelievers, call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, that is the unbeliever, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear. What does it mean to hallow God? What does it mean to hallow God? It means to reverence him, for he is holy, to consider him holy and act in that manner. Let God be your fear and let him be your dread. He will be your sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Peter's saying we are to hallow God's name. We are to reverence him in our hearts and fear him only. God alone is holy, and we should declare this to ungodly men. Again, Isaiah says, don't be afraid of their threats or be troubled by them. Fear God. Isaiah had a vision, of course, in Isaiah chapter 6. He saw the Christ high and lifted up in worship, and the holy angels, the seraphim, were crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. That is the God we serve, the God who is holy, who cannot look upon sin, who cannot look upon unrighteousness. Isaiah declared, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Holy One of Israel. When you're being persecuted, don't look to man for help. Don't look for man. That's man-pleasing again. Only the Holy One of Israel can give mercy in the time of need. Make Christ your sanctuary. Sanctifying the Lord God in your hearts is to make him your sanctuary. You are to hide under his wings. You are to find succor from him and strength and encouragement from him. He is our sanctuary. Though the tabernacle in the wilderness and the temple were all foreshadowing and foresignifying Christ, who is our true tabernacle and our true sanctuary, we are to hide under his wings and his protection and care. We are to go to him and plead his mercy. We are to think of all his benefits toward us, how he suffered for us. Lord, what is this suffering that I am incurring compared to the suffering that you suffered for me? Remind yourself of all those benefits. And then Peter goes on to say, be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. What is Peter saying here? What is the antidote to reviling and returning evil? Give the gospel. Here Peter's saying, give the gospel to the unbeliever who persecutes you. Don't revile. Don't persecute. Don't drive him away. Tell him about the grace of God in your life. Be ready to do that. Are you ready to give a defense to those who ask you about your Lord? Are you ready to give a defense about why you act the way that you act and believe in the way that you believe? Peter here says this is the antidote to reviling. In verse 16 he says, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good name in Christ may be ashamed. As I said before, we will be heaping burning coals on his head, according to Proverbs 22. So we are not to revile or seek revenge. The Westminster Confession of Faith in chapter 20 says, they who upon pretense of Christian liberty do practice any sin or cherish any lust, do thereby destroy the end of Christian liberty, which is that being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, we might serve the Lord with fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. For not even to have our brothers violate our liberty. Sometimes, in David's case, it was his friends who persecuted him as much, and that hurt more than when his enemies persecuted him. We are to have a liberty of conscience, and we are not to violate other people's conscience. Well, finally, to end up, Peter says in verse 17, "For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than evil. For Christ suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." Peter's saying, remind yourself, Christ suffered for you. You're the unjust. You're the persecutor of Christ. And Christ died for your sins. So how about you? How do you deal when man persecutes you? Do you rail back against him and return evil for evil? God's word here, delivered to us through Peter, says, trust in the Lord, do good, don't do evil in return of evil. Hallow him and sanctify him in your heart. Don't fear men who persecute you. And for little children, what does this mean for you? What does this mean for you? It means you are to love the Lord Jesus with all your heart. And when you have problems, you can go to Jesus and pray to him for help. And you can pray for whatever problems you have if you treasure him in your heart. And that's what we are to do. In closing, don't fear men who persecute you. They will fade away like the grass. They're in God's hands. They're here only for a moment. God is your bulwark and your shield. Continue in doing good and serving Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you have chosen providentially to sanctify us through the persecution of others. And we know even from the beginning of your word in Genesis 3:15, there will be two lines of men. Two lines of men. Those who love you and keep your commandments and those who hate you. Father, that spiritual clash has been going on for thousands of years and will not be discontinued until you return again to deliver your saints from this world of evil. Father, help us to heed your words here. Help us to sanctify you as Lord in our hearts. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
For more sermons like the one you just heard, visit westminsteropc.com or join us at 9:30 in the morning and 5 o'clock in the evening every Lord's Day. We're located on the corner of Adams and Chickasaw in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. We'd be happy to have you.